presence for me to experience through prayer. And when I look at this part, like I said, I want to focus on verses 9 through 13. I don't know about you, but do you notice there's kind of two types of prayer that we see within those verses? Kind of two categories, if you want to put it that way. There's these spectacular, really big prayers in verses 9 and 10. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we have this other category of prayer that I see after that. That's more of these, you know, simple, nitty-gritty, everyday, practical stuff and struggles type prayer. God, give me bread. I'm not asking to be rich. I'm not asking for, you know, everything. Just please take care of my needs, my practical needs. God, forgive me. Forgive me of my debts. In other words, another way we could say is forgive me of my sins as I forgive those who've sinned against me, right? And then the deliver me from the evil one. Don't lead me into temptation. And so here we have, we're praying these prayers of like, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then we have this other category of prayer, which is just the like, I need bread. I need forgiveness. I need help defeating sin and not being overcome by it. And I can put it this way. There's the simple and there's the spectacular in the way Jesus teaches us to pray. And how many of you know life's like that? That's what life is like. There's the simple and the nitty-gritty stuff, and there's the spectacular stuff of life. There's the basic stuff of life, and there's the breathtaking stuff in life. There's the average stuff, and there's the awesome stuff. There's the mundane, and there's the magnificent and majestic. I like alliteration, if you can tell. Just helpful. That's very much like life. And I believe that's why Jesus teaches us to pray in such a way. We'll talk maybe a bit more about that later on. But I want to look at what's the first thing it appears that Jesus wants to draw our attention to in how he teaches us to pray. It's the first thing, right? First thing he wants to draw our attention to in how he teaches us to pray is who we are praying to. Who does he say we're praying to? Our Father in heaven, right? So even in this, there's two parts to how he wants us to see God, who we're praying to, who we're engaging with when we pray. Our Father in heaven. And see, the Father part of God, it points to his tenderness, his attentiveness, the fact that he draws near to us, broken sinners in need. But the in heaven part speaks of his majesty and his holiness and that he's high above all, that he's the ruler of all things, that there's no power to be matched with him. He is above everything. So when we pray, we're called to pray to our Father in heaven. And that is to affect how we pray. And so in titling this message, Who's Listening? There's this thought that goes through my mind. How we see who we're praying to dramatically impacts how we pray and what we pray. And I think first and foremost, God wants us to recognize who we're praying to. And my own experience in prayer has been this, that as I grow in my relationship with God, my prayer life grows. In other words, the deeper knowledge of God that's worked into my heart and into my mind and my life through His Word and by His Spirit, the deeper my prayer life goes, the stronger it gets. And so my exhortation to you, my hope for you, is to whet appetites, to put in you a desire to know God more. Because I believe that as we know Him more, and when I say know more, the place it starts, I know for me, is in the Word. As I open up the Word and the Spirit breathes life onto it, something starts to shift. It comes alive. I begin to see how that God is actually at work in my life. As I read the Word, I begin to see that He is this big out there ruling over the cosmos God who is attentive to the finest details of my life. Does that comfort anybody? Does that encourage anybody to know that the God of the universe, like we were singing about in that final song, is the God who we're in this loving relationship with? Thanks, Drew. Come on. Keep it coming. And something begins to happen when we pray from this knowledge of who He is. And when I say that my relationship with God and deeper knowledge of Him strengthens my prayer life, I want to bring some clarification to the word strengthens, because I think it can be a misleading word. And maybe before I bring that clarification, I'm actually going to play a little video that I think will help. So Shalom, do you have that? I sprung on Shalom right before the service, this thing. Look at that, and she's on it. She's got it just like that. Hold on, let's pause 1 second. Let's pause 1 second. Can we get lights, and can we get the volume just a bit up? So this, I'm playing this, let's just, before we even go into it, 1 second, okay, Shalom? Before we go into it, this is, like I said, the word strengthening our prayer life can be misleading. And I couldn't help but think of this clip from The Lion King. The Lion King is full of amazing metaphors about our walk with God and our destiny and all that sort of stuff. So if you want to watch the whole thing, I highly recommend it. Even without your kids, absolutely. And what we're talking about here is clarifying what I mean by strengthening our prayer life. So what you're about to see in this scene is the cub Simba and his friend Nala have got themselves in some trouble with these mean hyenas, and we'll go from there. Press play.
That was it? Do it again.
Come on, we're
going to
shut up right now.
I'm really sorry.
If you ever come near my son again.
Oh, this is your son?
Oh, yours?
Did you know that?
No, me? I didn't know. No, did you?
No, of course not.
No.
Ed?
All right. Thank you, Shalom. Thank you, Lion King. Thank you, Disney. We could turn the lights back on if somebody wants help with that. It would be great. Here's why I felt to play that clip, okay? You see Simba there, and he does his little cub roar at these hyenas who are coming to take him and his friend out. They're not intimidated. And Simba roaring on his own is much like us, I feel, trying to pray in our own strength. when Mufasa shows up, that for me is like when the Word of God shows up in my prayer life. That when I've been infused with the Word of God and I start to pray as per the Word of God in my heart, it comes out and it sounds different. Right? And the Word of God shows up and starts to wreak havoc on what the enemy is trying to do in my life. And it's not my voice. It's not my own strength. It's not my own roar. It is a deep-rooted knowledge in who God is as revealed to me through His Word and by His Spirit that starts to change how I pray. Starts to change how the devil hears my prayers. Starts to change the impact of that prayer. The God that we pray to and pray with is this, like this huge lion who will strike fear in the eyes of any he intends to strike fear into. And yet who we can draw near to, who cares about our basic, simple needs, who wants to provide bread, who wants to forgive of sin, who wants to help us overcome sin in our lives. And there's something about knowing who we're praying to that's a game changer. And I know, like, something happened for me in my own prayer life where I found myself, I was praying, and I just felt like God said to me, "Why do you talk to me like that?" Because, you know, you get into this, like, intense kind of old King James speaking before God, and you're going to, you know, I don't know, slay giants and kill dragons and, you know, change the world. And I'm not saying there's not place for that, like, raw prayer. But I just felt like, I'm even going to pause there. This connects to me with what Jason was talking about last week. That when I say, "God said to me, why are you praying to me like that?" Let me just give you a little window into how that actually goes. I'm praying in this big dramatic fashion, and this thought comes into my head of, why do I talk to God like this? I don't think it impresses him. I don't think it makes him more quick to respond to my prayers, anything like that. And what I believe is that thought is God. God is reminding me of the fact that he doesn't care about my show. He doesn't care about my act. He doesn't care about my pretense. He cares about the reality of what's going on in my heart and in my life. And so what started to happen was I realized God wanted me to be a lot more honest about where I was at and how I was doing. And I found myself praying prayers like, "God, I'm really stressed out." Like, that's where my prayer started. My prayer didn't start with, like, some big grand statement. My prayers would start with, like, "I'm really stressed. I'm feeling anxious. I'm really sad. I don't even know why I'm sad." Like, and I just come to God with this really raw, genuine, "Here's where I'm at." And then what would start to happen is I begin to wonder, why do I feel this way? And you start to ask the questions. Why am I feeling anxious? Why am I feeling sad? Why am I feeling afraid? And so often it would come into my mind something like, "Well, you're not trusting me for provision. You're not trusting me to help you," whatever, right? But the way those corrections and adjustments come is through knowledge of God revealed through the Scriptures. That's why I'm stressing knowing who we're praying to is so huge. And I'd go through this experience that as I got honest about how I was feeling, that drawing near in authenticity would give rise to authentic faith. Because God could really speak into where I was really at, because I was admitting it, I was confessing it. Is getting into the nitty-gritty, the seemingly small and insignificant things about my emotions. And then we could go places in prayer. And I'd find the lies would start to get exposed. Their fears would start to get exposed. And they would get replaced with truths about who he is. And hope would begin to rise. And faith would begin to rise. And I start to pray differently. And I realize, I'm like, this is kind of like the Psalms. All throughout the Psalms, you have this stuff. And a great one is where David actually says to himself, "Soul, why are you so downcast within me?" Psalm 43, verse 7. And then he goes on and he just turns a corner from there. Let's look at it. I'm going to flip there. Psalm 43, verse 7. Real quick. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." And I think it's good to go through that process of like, why am I like this? Why am I in this place? And let God begin to speak. I'm telling you, if you get filled with the word and the revelation of who he is and what he's like, it becomes a weapon in your life for God to use to overcome whatever you are struggling with. The Bible refers to God's word as the sword of the Spirit. And I really believe this, that as we read the word of God, as we get it planted in our hearts and in our lives, it becomes a sword in our hand that the Spirit is able to wield and use as he sees fit in our times of need. So when you're worried about provision, he can remind you of what we read already in Matthew 6, right? Before Jesus gives us what we call the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." He can remind you of that. Whatever you're going through, he can bring the word to mind. And I'll tell you what was a game changer for me in my prayer life was this verse in Psalm 65, verse 2, where God is addressed as, "Oh, you who hear prayer." That's like the title that he's given. "Oh, you who hear prayer." Guys, when we pray, God is listening. He's there with us. And what I want us to see, we come back here to Matthew 6. You know, I pointed out there's these two categories of prayer, the big, the grand, the spectacular, the cosmic stuff, and the nitty-gritty everyday needs. And we can see this spectrum, right? Well, there is a spectrum to God, where God is this big, majestic, holy, high, and lofty God. And yet he is near to the brokenhearted, near to the downcast. He hears our prayers. And like we said, there's this spectrum to life. There is the things in life that take your breath away. And there's the really basic and the simple stuff in life. And prayer, as a result, has this type of spectrum as well. Before we even talk about that, I just want to read one more verse. I just like reading the Bible. Is that okay with you guys? I really like it. And there's this scripture in Isaiah 57 that just paints such a clear picture to me of this spectrum of who God is, like I'm referring to. Isaiah 57, verse 15 says, "For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Does anybody see how that verse wraps up this spectrum of who God is? I'm not saying that all you need is Isaiah 57, 15 to understand God. Like, no, there's the whole Bible here, and he's a pretty complex, dynamic individual. But I love that it refers to him as the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Like, that's a pretty wild statement to me. God inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. And he says, I dwell in the high and holy place. But with who? With him who has a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God's like, I'm great, I'm big, I inhabit in eternity. I'm in this high and holy place with the contrite and the broken and the humble. I love that. Anybody else like that? But so, see, in our prayer lives, guys, our prayer lives don't have to be all like just the hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want it to be that. I want it to be that. But there is also, God, I need bread. God, I need forgiveness. Help me overcome this temptation. Help me, God. And my experience, I'm telling you from the Bible and from my experience, that both those parts of prayer and everything in between have their place in drawing me deeper into it. An increased knowledge of who God is and what he's like actually, I find, produces more prayer in my life. And it produces more authentic prayer in my life. Because there is, let's look at, I want to talk for a minute before we wrap up. I just want to talk about the way these two categories of prayer, if you will, and these different ends of the spectrum of God in life actually work together to create in us, if you want to call it, a divine equilibrium. Or spiritual equilibrium in our prayers. And the way I want to start by talking about that is say, like, there is a place for us to just go after directly attacking those nitty-gritty, day-to-day struggles in our life. I need bread. I need forgiveness. Deliver me from temptation. But there's also an indirect way to come at them. And it's actually in the first category of the hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what I mean by that is there's something about maintaining a clear perspective of God's great, magnificent, grand, global purposes that actually gives me the fuel I need to believe that he'll deal with my nitty-gritty day-to-day stuff. Does that make sense? And so there's something about if I lose sight of God's big, grand, global purpose, I actually get disabled in fighting the battles on the nitty-gritty day-to-day struggles. But I noticed this other thing. There's this interesting dynamic of how that idea works in reverse. And we'll see if you can track with me on this, but there's something about not losing touch with those nitty-gritty everyday struggles that allows my heart to soar when I see God's great, grand, global purpose. Because, see, I'm living here on this earth, right? We're all living on earth. We're all familiar with struggles if I need bread. Or changing diapers. I was talking to Tessie last night trying to do the math. I estimated 8,800. She estimated over 10,000 diapers changed in our household, in our years of parenting. Anyways, that's an interesting fact. Why do I say that? Because we have to keep in touch with the reality of real life as well. And that being in touch with real life causes the sight of God's great purposes to cause my heart to soar. I'll put it to you like this. I just saw this metaphor of it's like those big, grand, global purpose type things. They're like the anchor that helps me weather the storms of the everyday, nitty-gritty, practical struggles of life. But those everyday, nitty-gritty, practical struggles of life, they're like the kite string that allows my kite to soar into God's great, grand, global purposes. Does that make sense? If you don't have a kite string, that kite just takes off. It doesn't really fly. It will come crashing to the ground. And there's something about living in this place that I think Jesus was very purposeful in how he taught us to pray. That it is so important to recognize who we're praying to, our Father in heaven. It's important to know that he has these great, grand, global purposes for his name to be hallowed, for his kingdom to come and have influence and sway and authority over everything in the universe, and for his will to be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And it's also important for us to draw near to him with the, I need bread. I need forgiveness. I need help overcoming this temptation. My hope in sharing all of this is that somehow it will help you grow in prayer. Because all of us need it. I go back to what my small group leader said to me years ago, you know, there's no great man or woman of God who doesn't have a strong prayer life. Because there will be no great Life Tree Church in Victoria if we as Life Tree Church do not have a strong prayer life. That's why I think we felt strongly. Because we sought God in the first 3 weeks of the year for strategies. It felt like the top of the list thing that he was saying to us was, pray. Keep praying. And living in this place of prayer and communion and fellowship with him is integral to us being the church that he's called us to be. Us being the people that he's called us to be. And I know from my own experience that prayer can be hard. And I'm telling you, I have been finding in my own journey these things I'm talking about, helping to cultivate more prayer, deeper prayer, more authentic, more actual faith-filled prayer. And I'm telling you, I feel faith when I'm coming to God going, I don't know why I'm so sad. Like there's faith at work in that conversation happening just as much as there is when I lay hands on somebody who's sick and say, be healed in Jesus' name. There's these big spectrums of like, mourning and struggle and processing with God all the way to just declaring something and commanding it to be in the name of Jesus. And it's all part of this whole spectrum of prayer that he wants to develop in our lives. And so when you come with that just like seemingly insignificant in the big picture struggle, know God cares. He's the God who hears prayer. He's your Father in heaven. Next week, I want to stay here a little longer. We're going to talk about what's the kind of overarching purpose behind prayer. And what supports it all? What's its end goal? This week, I just want to leave you with that thought, that how we see who we're praying to dramatically impacts how we pray and what we pray. I want to encourage you to take in the whole spectrum of prayer and life and God. And let's learn to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. And some practical advice I have for you in inviting you into that and encouraging you towards it is read the Bible. We can be like Simba if we want to. When we try to pray, or we can have Mufasa. I don't know if you were in here when the video was playing, you're like, what is he talking about? But sorry if you missed that part. But we can have prayer in our own strength, or we can have prayer infused with and empowered by God's word. And the ultimate purpose of God's word is to show us who he is and what he's like. And so that is why I constantly am encouraging you, read the Bible. And ask the Holy Spirit to awaken in you what he's talking about, what he's revealing through it. Amen? Wouldn't it be appropriate to pray as we finish? Can we stand together? I'm already standing. If you'd stand with me, it'd be great. And I'm just going to pray over you and ask you to agree, if you do agree with what I'm praying. Lord, we're asking for you to increase in our hearts the knowledge of who you are and what you're like. That when we pray as you taught us to pray, and the words on our lips are our Father in heaven, I pray that there would be a clear image of who you are and what you're like that would flood our hearts with joy, that would fill us with peace and cause faith to rise, and that there would be no hesitation or sense of pretense when we pray things like, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there would be no shame or sense of insignificance when we come and we say, give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We'll just finish off. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Bless you guys.